Clarence Dixon is set to be executed by the Arizona Department of Corrections next month. If it goes forward, it'll be the first time the state has put someone to death since the botched execution of Joseph Wood in 2014. That execution took more than 2 hours and involved 15 doses of lethal drugs. The state Supreme Court had previously vacated an attempt to execute Dixon, as well as another inmate, because state officials didn't have lethal drugs that were not expired. Now, Dixon declined to choose a method of death, so the default will be a one-dose lethal injection. The State Department of Corrections said in March of last year it had obtained the drug pentobarbital and could resume executions. But as KJZZ reported at the time, the state would not disclose the source of that pentobarbital or any compounding pharmacy that may have produced it. Deborah Deno is the founding director of the Neuroscience and Law Center at Fordham University's School of Law and an expert on the death penalty. She spoke more about the case with our co-host, Lauren Gilger.
Given the history, I'm watching for two things. I mean, the lethal injection drugs, for example, yeah. Of course. And number two, his mental state, his competency. He has an incredibly long record of mental illness and all sorts of psychological problems starting at his birth, literally. So I think that's of profound importance.
So Dixon declined recently to choose a form of execution, which he was allowed to do. But now, because of that, we're defaulting to a one-dose lethal injection. So explain to us what that means. States, I know, have had a lot of problems, and here in Arizona as well, getting access to these kind of lethal drugs.
States have had enormous problems getting lethal injection drugs. Until from 1977 to 2009 in this country, states basically use a very similar three-drug protocol. But starting in 2009, 2010, that first drug, it's called sodium thiopental, was no longer available in this country. It was an older drug and only one manufacturer created it, et cetera. So there was an enormous scramble for drugs. States tried to get the drugs in Europe, but Europe wouldn't sell to us. Europe wants nothing to do with the United States death penalty process. So after that, states just started using whatever was available to dire effect.
Is that sort of what we saw happen here in 2014 when there was this case of an inmate basically actively suffering 15 doses over 2 hours to result in his death?
Well, that's right. I mean, it's due to the drugs. It's due to the problems with the executioners. We don't know who those people are. It's due to the fact that there's so much incompetency in this process.
Explain that a little bit more. I mean, it's not just, it sounds like, because of the drugs. Like, things are changing in terms of how the death penalty is carried out in this country and it not being done well?
Well, from 1982, the first time there was ever a lethal injection execution in this country, up to the present time, there's always been botches. This has been going on for decades. Huh. I think because of this drug shortage, it's gotten even worse because states are scrambling for drugs. They're using drugs they've never used before. It's all unpredictable. But I do want to emphasize it's been chaotic for decades from the very start, literally from the very first execution in 1982 in Texas.
Oh, that's really interesting. I didn't know that. So we have a sense that it's getting worse now, but it's actually always been flawed.
It's always been fraud. And it's because there's, you know, states have had a problem in executing inmates from the get-go. So they've gone from hanging to electrocution to lethal gas, as we know that was going to be used in Arizona, to lethal injection. And lethal injection has been the last stop. But given that there's no other alternative really readily available, states just keep on trying to experiment with different kinds of drugs.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that lethal gas issue. The Department of Corrections here in Arizona had talked about using lethal gas in injections recently, which, you know, created some outcry because this, of course, is what was used in concentration camps during the Holocaust. What do you think about that being raised again, about using a form of execution like that?
Lethal gas was created in 1921 in this country in an effort to execute inmates humanely. From the start, it's always been the worst execution method. It's per se cruel and unusual. In other words, you can say that every lethal gas execution is cruel. Not only is it associated with the Holocaust and the controversy and all the, you know, horrific history surrounding the Holocaust and persecution of Jewish members of our community, etc. Yeah. But it's also been a horrific method of execution.
I want to also ask you about, in this particular case, the Clarence Dixon case, there's an issue, as you mentioned, of whether or not he is mentally fit to be executed. Explain the legal precedents here and what's supposed to be allowed.
In 1974, the United States Supreme Court in Ford v. Wainwright held that it's cruel and unusual punishment to execute an inmate who is insane. And there's everything about Clarence Dixon's history that suggests that he has tremendous mental issues and incompetencies. Indeed, he was declared insane by Sandra Day O'Connor. Huh. And it's only because he was released soon after that declaration of insanity that he ended up engaging in the murder for which he's supposed to be executed. And the fact that he was found insane and that the state is really committed an error in releasing him in the way that it did is where we end up now. It's incredibly rare for a defendant to be declared insane. In less than 1% of all cases do attorneys even raise an insanity defense. In only 1% of all cases are those defenses even successful. So the fact that Clarence Dixon was declared insane and unfortunately released by the state early is where we find ourselves now. If you're a psychiatrist, he would check off every box that you would look at to determine not only his incompetency, but also his status of insanity.
So what would it mean, Deborah, if he were allowed to be executed by the state given that history? I mean, what kind of precedent does that send?
It sends a terrible precedent, and it goes against the grain of where states and where our country is going on this issue of mental illness. Not only would it be violating Ford v. Wainwright, but it would be violating the trends now in this country, not only for execution methods, but just generally to better recognize and understand mental illness.
All right. That is Deborah Denno, founding director of the Neuroscience and Law Center at Fordham University's Law School. Deborah, thank you for coming on. Thank you for your expertise. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.